Oracle community proudly presents the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production.
This podcast explores and showcases how JDE customers are harnessing specific functionality and capabilities to drive business success.
Hello, JDE Connection listeners. Welcome back and happy 2026. I'm Chandra Wabshaw, one of your podcast hosts, and I'm the Business Solutions Lead at Colas IS Support. With me this week, and most weeks, is my friend and podcast partner, Paul Houtcooper, Vice President of JD Edwards Product Development at Oracle. Hey, Paul, how are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I'm glad to see that you're going to start the new year with still giving me grief about missing a single week. I appreciate that. I'm sure there's a few of our listeners out there that enjoy that each time. I'm not sure that you've worn it out yet. So, okay. How long do I have to be consistent before we get rid of that jab?
I don't know. You'll know when it's not there.
Yeah, sure. All right. Awesome. Well, Happy New Year. Any resolutions that you want to share with our listeners?
Well, maybe. Uh-oh. I don't know about that. No, just kidding. Yes, one of my resolutions for the year was actually to start journaling with specific journal prompts. And I'm actually doing kind of a daily meditation, if you will. And so I can journal on that, or I can journal on maybe whatever I might be feeling or thinking that day. The prompting also includes kind of gratitude. What are you grateful for? What are the good things that happened? What are your daily affirmations? So just working on myself is one of my resolutions for this year. So every day.
Every day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, geez. That's hard to keep up with. That's going to be a challenge for sure. But I can appreciate it. I can respect it. I know over the past couple of years, I've gotten very interested in Stoicism. And more recently, overheard a podcast with, I believe the gentleman's name is Ryan Holiday. And I think he has a book out there called The Daily Stoic with 366, because there's always a leap year in there somewhere, right? Got to make sure that you got it covered. But 66 days of quotes from whether it's Epictetus or Marcus Aurelius and some of the other Stoic greats. And I've heard that's, you know, pretty cool, pretty neat way to start the day. It's light, easy, straightforward, kind of helps decompose some of the quotes and more known quotes out there. So it's definitely something that I was thinking about looking into. So it's interesting to hear what you're doing. I definitely applaud you in that New Year's resolution and good luck with that for sure. So
thank you. Yes, I know it will be a challenge. I have tried that in the past and I usually make it like in February and then it falls off. So
I know you like they have 5-minute journals out there and stuff like that. And it's like, oh, I can do 5 minutes. I can always do 5 minutes. I'll find 5 minutes. And you're right. You go for a few weeks, maybe a couple months. And next thing you know, you get overrun and I don't know. You give yourself permission, I guess, to skip it, unfortunately. So but I think it's important. I think it's definitely important.
Well, maybe you can hold me accountable and check in on me every week. Make sure I'm still journaling.
Make sure you're still journaling. Absolutely.
Yep.
So
yep.
Very, very cool. I didn't look ahead at what we're covering today, how we're going to kick the year off. So you got a topic?
I do. Mean, I know that's a shock.
One that we're allowed to talk about on the podcast.
Minor detail. Yes, I have one of those and I have a list of them. So you're good. Don't worry.
Good.
Well, what we're going to talk about today is a subject that I kind of saw you get cornered on, for lack of a better term, at one of the events we attended together. So I kind of saw you get pulled off and I overheard them asking as you were getting pulled away, why doesn't JD Edwards have any mobile apps? And I thought, well, you know, that's actually a really good question that we probably should cover. I had asked myself that a while back. I found the answer online, but I wanted to cover that with you for our guests.
Oh, great. So you see me get cornered and grilled and put in a difficult situation and you think, hey, that's podcast material. What the heck? Let's make him go through it again. But this time we're going to record it and see how he does. You're always looking out for me. And of course, I got the prep knot for this, so I'm as caught off guard as the last time. I'm just kidding. But no, it is a question. That's fair. It's a question that does come up here and there. It's, you know, we made a decision many years ago to change our mobile strategy. We spent a fair amount of time at that time kind of socializing it and then basically assumed that everybody got it. We got the message out. But the reality is even if you got the message out at that time, and we hit 100% of people at that time, I don't think it's the same people today as it was those years ago. And so others have become familiar with JDE, they're introduced to JDE, or there's others that just never knew that we changed direction. And so they do ask the question, where are your mobile apps? You know, or why don't you have any mobile apps? And the answer is we went to what we called an enablement strategy several years ago. So we did have mobile apps. Matter of fact, we had roughly 90 or so of those mobile apps. And what we found, you know, our experience wasn't great. We built them. The mobile apps actually worked, but kind of like our base applications that do everything, right? We build these applications and they cover all these different scenarios, all these different use cases, all these different business practices. But you and your business follow this one. And when you follow that one, you look at our sales order entry app and you're like, I don't need the 150 fields. I probably need half of these or less than half of these to complete my task. Well, we built our mobile applications a little bit like that, and maybe not as extreme, but the reality is they weren't necessarily as fit for purpose. And when you're using a mobile app, you want it for that one thing, right? It really is a fit for purpose application and you want it straightforward, simple, easy to accomplish a specific task. Ours did a little bit more than that. And as a result, we found that most of the customers actually wanted to customize them. And so they were
the dreaded C word.
Yeah, exactly. So here we are. Don't customize our software. Then we put something out that you absolutely have to customize in order to make it work for your specific use case. So we didn't, I guess we felt like nobody was necessarily using our solutions out of the box, which then when you think about it, we put 90 of these things out the door. The underlying technology that was used at the time, I think we were using Oracle's mobile application framework. Those things start to move and they morph or they even disappear. Oracle makes decisions and sometimes products are obsoleted, including frameworks. And as a result, we end up with maintenance. And, you know, if nobody's going to use what we're doing out of the box, why would we continue to try to maintain these things for an empty room? You probably hear me say that a lot. It's like, you know, we're playing to an empty room. We could have the greatest ensemble you've ever seen, and yet there's nobody there to see it. So we could put out the most wonderful mobile apps. Very, very cool, but nobody was using them. So why take on the overhead? The other thing, you know, to align with customers themselves and business partners, right? They have their own solutions, their own tools that they're using, right? Their own low code, no code tools that they use to build their mobile apps for maybe other products or other things. And as a result, they want a consistent look and feel across their mobile suite. Again, whether you're a business partner or you're a customer. So it doesn't matter what you might have been using, but the point is you want to continue to use that. And here we are building off of our specific framework. And now you've got this mix and match of different technologies and having to maintain multiple versions of things. Or you just say, no, you're not going to customize our version. You're going to mirror our version and create it yourself on your own platform. So why don't we try to enable that? Why won't we facilitate that? Put our energy towards how do we make that easier for you to do rather than us wasting the energy, putting stuff out the door that you're not going to use. That honestly was another input. And if we're going to enable you and we're going to focus on it that way, well, why wouldn't we piggyback off the phenomenal success that we've actually had with Orchestrator? We've got this digital platform. Thousands of customers now are using it and leveraging it, familiar with it, and it's proven. It's a proven integration tool. It's a proven automation tool. And when it comes to building no-code, low-code front-end applications, it's a great way to create the REST services that you need to connect to JD Edwards and run JD Edwards behind those mobile apps. So why don't we take advantage of the investments that we're making there? And if anything, channel some of what was going to those mobile apps, channel it more towards that digital platform and building that out and making it even more flexible and even more robust for you to build your own user experience. So that was the change in strategy that came about. And as a result, we took those mobile apps down. But it's still not fair to say that we don't have any mobile apps, because actually, if you go out there and you look at release 22 and now with release 26, we do have at least one mobile app. Can you guess what that one is? What's the most basic, simple use case or task that every company probably has to do, but chances are almost every company does it the same. And there's a really, really high degree of probability that we're going to get it right if we create an application for this. What would it be?
PO approvals.
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, you read ahead. Oh, wait, you're the one that put this whole thing together. So
yeah. Well, not only that, but I knew that from my own experience.
Okay.
At a previous employer, we were looking for a PO approval mobile application. And obviously, I looked around at all the options, including yours.
And you still didn't choose ours, but we won't go into that. So obviously you were part of that 0.5% that we weren't able, you know, because we hit 99.5% of the use cases out there, I'm sure of it. And you just happened to be special.
Actually, it wasn't that. It was the fact that I wanted to do other mobile applications in the future. And so why would I take just your mobile application if I knew that I wanted to do more in the future? I wanted them all to be kind of on the same platform to make it very easy.
So back to that platform discussion, which is, again, we enable you to do this, and you chose a platform which happened to have its own PO approvals mobile app also pre-built that you could leverage. It totally makes sense. Sounds like the strategy is working then.
Right? Yes, your strategy is working.
Staying in the JDE loop is easy with Quest. Sign up for our free JD Edwards newsletter or follow Quest JDE on LinkedIn or Facebook for the latest Oracle updates, new content publication, and news on upcoming webinars and events. For more info, visit questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.
So if people are interested, though, you can go out to learn JDE. And as you asked the question, I cheated, I'll be honest, and went out here and did it. So you go to Learn JDE, hit your little search button, and just type in mobile. And the first thing that's going to come up is this mobile platform and solutions link. And just take that. And when you take it, it's going to take you to the Learn JDE page on mobility. And when you look down at the resources down the page, you're going to get links to first the strategy, and that's going to take you to the JD Edwards E1 mobile app strategy that is actually available out there on Moss. And you can read through effectively what I just explained to you. And then a second thing, which is probably more applicable, is there's a getting started with Visual Builder and Orchestrator link. And that's going to take you to a learning path. And that learning path actually walks you through how to develop a mobile app. Of course, using Oracle Visual Builder, we have to pick a tool. Of course, we're going to pick Oracle, right? But,
yes,
you know, along with this along with this enablement strategy, of course, we want to provide the education to facilitate your ability to build these things. So we chose Oracle Visual Builder because, of course, that's what we also use to build our progressive web app, and put this example out there so that people could understand how to do this stuff. So we didn't want to just leave you completely hanging. It's like, no, we're going to go to an enablement strategy. We're going to leverage Orchestrator. We're going to let you choose the platform that you want. And we're going to even show you using our platform how you would go about creating these applications. And it's pretty straightforward. It's over an hour. It's a couple hours, but you get the general idea and concepts. And then if you are interested in that progressive web app that we're talking about, you can, of course, go out to the product catalog and just type in PO approval. And when you do that, you'll get a couple links, one to the original progressive web app that we put out with release 22, and another one to the converted one where we converted it to a web PWA. It's kind of funny that web progressive app. That tripped me up. I'm like, why do I have to say web twice? But it's true. It's a web PWA, in which case you get to use the URL and it renders on whatever device you want to use. And so that's out with release 26. So you can go check that out as well. So yes, we still have mobile app, and soon maybe I'll be able to put the S behind that as soon as we find other use cases where it makes sense for us to put it out the door where people are going to use it. I'm happy to build those. I'm absolutely no problem putting those out the door as long as we know what they are and if we have high demand for them. So I wouldn't say that our enablement strategy is an absolute strategy where we'll never build another mobile app. That's not the case. But in select instances, we will absolutely do a PWA or a WPWA, as they're called now, for our customers.
So if I have a suggestion for one, where do I submit it?
Let's see. Where's that trash bin? Oh, sorry.
Well played, sir. Well played. That's where all my emails go.
Exactly. Well, I think you get, as we've talked about multiple times in the past, where do you go to enter enhancements? One, you want to put in an SR and share your request with Oracle. You also then want to work with the appropriate SIG that corresponds to the functional area that you're in, that you're talking about. If that's financials, let's just pick financials. Go to the financial SIG, say, hey, we need in a mobile app that does XYZ. Is there anybody else? And of course, then you garner support for that and get the enhancement request put in through Quest, connect those two, and then start really lobbying to get more support for that. And again, if we think we can hit the mark and we've got a high degree of confidence and we know it's not entered by Chandra Walpshaw, then, we'll go ahead and pursue it anyway.
Well played.
Well, everybody's going to think, all you do is do the enhancements of your podcast partner. I can't have that out there.
Oh, gosh, no. Don't worry. He doesn't. He puts most of them in his trash bin. It's fine. I've come to accept this.
I make none of these decisions. It's the product management team that tells me what we need to build. So
great. That was very helpful. While I know you did talk about, your mobile application strategy changing a couple of years back, I know I didn't get that memo. Maybe it wasn't something I was looking for or listening for at the time. So I'm glad that we are actually having this discussion so that we can remind people, hey, there is an app. And we are open to other apps if everything can align, if the moon and stars align. So I think that's very helpful for our listeners to get a little bit of an understanding. And the resources you covered, we'll include those in our show notes so they have an easy path to them.
I should have probably copied down all those URLs while I was going through this. Anyway.
It's easily recreated. Just look in your browser history.
True. All right. Well, we can't end the episode without a Midwesternism. So how are we kicking 2026 off? Which Midwesternism are we going to use this time?
Well, we're going to talk about a Midwesternism that actually was brought up in, I think, our first year, 2024. We are going to revisit the Supper Club Midwesternism.
Yes. The good old Supper Clubs.
Yes.
I suppose you want me to take this. I, again, didn't realize. Okay. So, yes, you brought up supper clubs, and we've been talking for a long time now. I think over the years, there's just been things that have come up that we've talked about. Hey, we got to go do that. You want to expose me to some of this Midwestern culture, whether it be the state fair, or in this case, you had talked about these supper clubs and how unique they are. And there happened to be one, I think, close to your hometown, Rochester, Minnesota, the Hubble House. Is that right?
Correct.
If I'm remembering, because I was just there. I happen to be right. I happen to be up visiting family in Minnesota and let you know. And you invited me to the Hubble House and went with you and your father to this. It's really hard to describe.
Right.
It's like you go through a time warp.
Yeah. You legit go back in time walking into the building.
Yes, you walk into the building and it's like you've gone back to 1970 something, maybe even further back than that, to be honest. And it is amazing. It's absolutely amazeballs. It's awesome. I mean, I don't know how to describe it other than you just go back in time. Everything there, I don't think that place has changed, I'm guessing, in, well, since you first went there, and who knows before that, how long it's been since much has been updated in that place. It's absolutely.
It hasn't.
Yeah.
At least in the time I've been going there, which has been most of my life.
Yeah.
It has not changed. It legitimately, the decor, the tables, the chairs, they are the same.
Yes. Yes.
It's amazing.
And I could see that. I mean, the paneling on the wall, the portraits of individuals. I mean, it's just
founders.
The founders.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's,
exactly. And the, yeah, the paper placemats that they put on the table. I know that sounds mm-hmm. like it's paper placemats, but it's actually signatures of some of the various famous individuals that have visited, which is kind of cool when you look back. So, I mean, everything from presidents to like the Mayo brothers. So the founders of the Mayo Clinic way back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Mickey Pennell was on there. And New York Yankee and baseball player. I mean, it's very famous people who have gone through there and eaten dinner there. And then you got to talk about the food. I mean, you do look at the menu, and I was so torn because the first thing that, of course, you got to do is you got to have an old fashioned, which is, of course, a brandy old fashioned, because you're in the Midwest. They drink brandy more than they drink bourbon. So you got to have this brandy old fashioned that, again, is going to take you back. Well, we wouldn't say to your childhood when you were teething, but some of us might. But anyway.
True story. It was used.
It was used. And then you look at the menu options and it jumped out at me. Of course, the walleye, got to have the walleye, and you've got to have the prime rib. There were many other options. I'm telling you, the menu was awesome. It was really, really, yeah, I'd love to go back and try some other things, but I had to go with the classics. So, you know, the prime rib and the walleye, absolutely top notch. It was very, very good. So the food's great. Food is fantastic. Loaded baked potato, of course, and green beans. You know, you just, it's, yeah, it's just classic. And I might still be feeling that meal because you eat so much. So the portions are large as well.
Pretty decent.
Yeah. So it was very good. It was awesome. So, you know, thank you for giving me that experience. It's definitely one I will remember and look forward to. Anytime I see a supper club, it's going to be up on the list to go to if I have time.
Absolutely. And what was really interesting is when I got to my dad's house, he handed me a newspaper article. Yes, he still sometimes gets an actual physical newspaper. I think it's on the weekends now because I think they stopped printing the weekday mm-hmm. ones. It's only digital, but I think he still gets the weekend one, or at least the Sunday one. Anyway, there was an article in there with Midwest supper clubs talking about some of the supper clubs in the Minnesota area specifically. And I had only been to two, and I think there were like 10 or 11 or 12 in there. I was like, oh man, I got some supper clubbing to do.
Yeah,
I got some clubbing to do. Supper clubbing, that is. I'm old now. I just go supper clubbing.
Wow. I'm not sure what my daughters would say. I'm going clubbing. What? Where are you going? Supper clubbing. They'd be like, we don't know you. Don't call ever.
Ever. Yeah. No, so. There is one that I do want to visit next time I'm back. My dad has gone to it several times, really likes it. It's outside of Rochester. It's actually kind of between Rochester and Minneapolis that I want to visit. And I have heard really good things about it. So I definitely need to get back so I can get up there with him.
Very cool. All right. Well, again, if you're ever in the Rochester area and you're looking for a place to eat, the Hubble House, highly recommend. And if you just happen to be anywhere in the Midwest and you have an opportunity to go to a supper club, you got to try it. I just trust
you gotta go.
It's absolutely worth your time. It'll be an experience. So,
yes. And the Midwest accents at the mm-hmm. supper clubs as well.
Of course.
Actually, in general.
Yes.
I forgot, even though I know I have one, but I decided I didn't have one that was that thick anymore. So
true story.
All right. For questions, feedback, or ideas for future episodes, contact us at the JDE Connection at questoraclecommunity.org. Until next time, let's keep learning, sharing, and most importantly, laughing together. Toodles.
See ya. Thank you for tuning in for today's episode of the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production. Show notes and links can be found at questoraclecommunity.org/JDE Connection.
To learn more about what's happening in the Quest JD Edwards community, visit our website at questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.